And now, ladies and gentlemen in attendance, and boxing fans joining us around the world, it's showtime!
Tomorrow night is one of the most anticipated heavyweight rematches in a long time. Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder square off in Las Vegas.
The stakes are particularly high for Deontay Wilder, who is considered by many to be the next great American heavyweight.
The Athletic's Lance Pugmire joins us today to talk about how Wilder has overcome incredible odds just to get here, and how, even as a kid in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, he knew his fate.
And he walks in there, 9 years old, puts his hands on his father's shoulders, and they look at each other in the eye. And basically, the message between them was, we are going to make it.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Andres Skelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. It's Friday, February 21st, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
Failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
I have never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
So Lance, how would you describe Deontay Wilder as a boxer and as a guy?
As a boxer, first of all, I mean, this is a guy who was definitely late to the game. I mean, he didn't start fighting until nearly the age of 20. So he steps into the gym, and what they discover very quickly, as the world now knows so well, is that he's got this unbelievably powerful right hand that can knock anyone out.
His opponent, how did he stand up to that right hand? He didn't stand up to that one. And look at the way Raybot is laid out with his leg bent back, and this fight is over. Deontay Wilder, as expected, a first-round knockout.
They were able to develop that as much as they could, along with, you know, the technical skills that are required in boxing. And from that, he's become heavyweight world champion stunningly.
And what about outside the ring? You went to Tuscaloosa to find out more about the town and Deontay's background.
That's the reason that we went to Alabama, is to unearth, really, no one had really written the definitive Deontay Wilder story. And to be able to understand what he's been through, I mean, you talk about the poverty that he suffered through. He tells very interestingly, talking about having to wear orange shoes to school every day because his father couldn't afford anything more.
I had some high orange Dadas. You remember Dadas? You ain't ever heard Dadas. Imagine having orange shoes. My feet is a hell of a lot better now than it was, because I used to have corns on my feet.
Oh, shit.
Seventh grade, my feet used to be just like that. And I used to sit in the back of the class for a reason, because I had to take my shoes off. I remember failing all my classes because I couldn't focus. Worry about people teasing me and worrying about my feet hurting, you know. And then when the bell ring, you know, you got to be the one making sure nobody look and shit like that, you know, getting picked with all the time.
You know, these guys had to sacrifice for literally everything that they accomplished in life. They were basically abandoned by their mother when Deontay was around 9 years old. And so the father had to improvise in conserving money. It was so bad they had to, you know, cut corners on the light bill, and they would only keep the light on above their stove as the only light in the house throughout the evening, every day. And Deontay was dressed in Walmart clothing and hand-me-downs.
Deontay's father, Gary, is so instrumental in the story of how Deontay becomes a world-class boxer. And you wrote that his path to this point can't be charted without considering his father. Why is that?
Just because he taught him really the proper way to live a life, a dignified effort in life. It is so essential to who Deontay Wilder has become. And that path was lied by Gary Wilder. I mean, he could have turned these kids over to a foster care, but instead, like, he found a way each and every day to make them dinner, to educate them, to talk to them. And there was this very telling scene in which early on, Gary Wilder breaks down in tears in the kitchen, and Deontay Wilder hears, you know, that daddy's crying, and he walks in there, 9 years old, puts his hands on his father's shoulders, and they look at each other in the eye. And basically the message between them was, we are going to make it. We are going to do this. And they have made it. And I think that Gary Wilder, just by emphasizing, look, you need to believe in your faith, and you need to, you know, adhere to the tenets of those. And if you do, you have to believe that everything's going to be okay.
As a father, he's the foundation. The father is the glue to the family. Having some type of structure and foundation, you know, for the children. And my father was there every step of the way. You know, it was a point in time my father had the only way he ate was, he ate from the leftovers of us, you know what I'm saying, as a child and stuff like that. I didn't understand until I became a grown man, and we talk about these things now, and it's like, dang. And as a loving father of eight, and what he did for four, it really hits me. I'm like, damn, I understand it.
You understand the power of God.
Deontay was touched by all this, and he was touched by the goodness of a man and what it takes to be a hardworking person, you know, what you can make of yourself if you just, quote unquote, stick your nose to the grindstone. And that type of struggle ingrained in Deontay a feeling of, I'm going to, when it's my time, I'm going to make a better life for myself and my children. I appreciate the work ethic and the devotion to God that my father has instilled in me, but I want something better, and I am willing to pay the ultimate price to get there.
And you actually spent some time with Gary Wilder and talked about the relationship between him and Deontay. What stuck out to you when you spoke with him?
You can just see that he has followed the example of his father. Being able to spend so much time with Gary Wilder and hearing the way he talks about, you know, how you should view life.
Another thing I taught him, and I think he's still in transition about this right here, I taught him this. I said, Deontay, I said, no matter how God increase you, I said, don't forget about the people that saw you when you was invisible. Because there were some people saw him when the world didn't know who he was. But there were some people around him saw him when he was invisible to the world. I told him, when God increased you, don't look down on nobody like they don't matter, because they do. Those people that saw you.
And Deontay Wilder has remained loyal to JD as his trainer. He has remained loyal to the people of Tuscaloosa, who he loves. The lessons that he has gained have allowed him to say, I'm basically going to live as an example in my hometown.
He came to boxing kind of out of desperation. You know, before we get into his rise through the ranks, what was Deontay Wilder doing before he took boxing seriously?
Yeah, he was, you know, he was doing what he needed to do to help his family. He took on some jobs, such as he worked in IHOP. I was actually able to go into the IHOP.
That he worked at?
Yeah, that he worked at in Tuscaloosa, and talked to the manager. And she spoke with great pride that, you know, he started as a dishwasher, but there would be times like where he had to go out into where everyone was eating and gather some of the dishes. And he couldn't help himself but start talking to these people. Mm-hmm. Soon enough, they realized, like, hey, we got to get this guy out there as a waiter, because, like, people are coming in to talk to him. Like, they love his opinions and everything like that. So then, like, he finds a better paying job as a beer truck driver. And I've heard some incredible stories in which, like, Deontay Wilder was so strong, he could carry 15 cases of beer all at once. So, like, imagine this. He's basically like a human forklift.
So Deontay, he's really working hard to do the right thing in life. And for his daughter, who has this really complicated birth defect, spina bifida, and it really takes a toll on him.
Yeah. And he laid this out. He says, when you're 19 years old and you feel like you're trying to go out in the world because you've reached adulthood, right? So you want to take everything on yourself. A 19-year-old taking on a very heavy-duty responsibility of finding out that your daughter has this debilitating condition, spina bifida, and you really don't know what the repercussions of that will be. It's a pretty wide spectrum as to what can happen, including, you know, being in a wheelchair. And then at the same time, you know, I think it became a little overwhelming for his girlfriend, and she told him that she was leaving him. And so he felt as if, I'm not going to make it. Like this, life has finally gotten the better of me. So he had a gun in his hand and he said he thought about, you know, this is the moment, this is it. And he said there was just something inside of him, like his father has always told him, like, walk in your destiny. You know, you are going to be something special in this life, in this world. And he said that that thought just struck him at that point. And he said, you know, I'm not going to do anything right now. I'm going to go take a shower. I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to chill out. And then I'm going to look at all of my problems that I have tomorrow. And with that new light on things, you know, he's lived on to become who he is.
Well, so tell us about JD's and what happens when Deonte walks into his gym.
JD's is a local trainer in Alabama, and he has seen many sculpted bodies walk in vowing dedication. And Deonte was really no different at that point. But JD's always played a little trick on his guys. And so when Deonte comes in to, you know, say he wants to sign up for boxing and he's willing to show up every day, JD says, okay, well, we're going to work on footwork drills. And Jay acted like he had a phone call in his office, so he kind of walked away. And he says, sure enough, 99% of the guys, when I leave, they start throwing punches because that's what they think the boxing is all about. It's all about like how hard you can hit and knock someone out. And he says, but Deonte was different. Deonte was staying focused on the footwork drills. Mm-hmm. He was trying to move his feet the right way. And he says, I was so stunned by that. And I was so impressed by that. And the same thing, it's like Deonte shows up the next day and the day after that. And he keeps, you know, being as dedicated to this craft as he possibly can become. And JD's is like, look, I think you have the ability to be someone special. At one point, a journeyman heavyweight came into the gym not too long after Deonte first showed up, and Deonte unleashed that big right hand on this kid. And the guy's on his back on the mat, and he nods over to JD's, the trainer, and says, you better keep this kid.
Well, and JD's actually discouraged Deonte from going pro. Why was that?
Yeah, because Deonte was so desperate for money. He was like, I want to turn pro immediately as soon as I can so I can start making these purses. And JD's is like, well, you're only going to be making like $500. And if you turn pro right now, it's like such an uphill battle. You should think about going through the amateur program, you know, try to become a U.S. Olympian, you know, because with that is attached some cachet, you know, where you can market yourself effectively as someone who's dedicated himself to his country and to his sport. And then like Deonte did, I mean, he wins this stunningly, is the only member of a 2008 U.S. Olympic team that included current middleweight champion Demetrius Andrade and featherweight champion Gary Russell. He was the only guy to win a medal. He won the bronze. And so he comes back from that experience and he starts calling himself the bronze bomber. So JD's had a master plan. And I think when you... Not only when you talk about Deonte's loyalty to Tuscaloosa, but his loyalty to JD's, that is definitely what it's rooted in.
So Deonte Wilder has proven in the ring that he can hold his own. But at the same time, he really doesn't get the respect that comes with being an American heavyweight champion. You know, when you think of American heavyweights, names like Ali and Foreman and Tyson come to mind, but not Deonte Wilder. Why is that?
He has been lacking that ultimate opponent that is going to challenge him. I mean, because let's be honest, with all of those guys, Ali had Frazier. Foreman had Ali. Tyson ended up having Evander Holyfield at the end of the day. You need that person in there, that other guy that is going to test you and see how special you are.
So you talk about him not having that opponent. Who should that be? Who should be Deonte Wilder's Frazier?
Well, I think for right now, it's Tyson Fury. The deal with that they have in place for this fight is whoever loses has the right to invoke a rematch clause. And so they would be scheduled to fight again in the summer. So look, these guys went at it went at it, you know, like no one in their first fight. And that fight was so sensational. If this fight is, you know, even close to being as entertaining, a third fight between these guys is going to be spectacular.
So do you think Deontay Wilder is the person to bring back American heavyweight boxing?
Absolutely. His idol is Muhammad Ali. He has deep awareness of all of those who have preceded him. And he understands what is necessary for him to stand as a heavyweight champion. And he wants to try to make a social difference. And I think that that's what the great American heavyweight champions have been able to do throughout time. They have the entire country's attention transfixed on them. And Deontay Wilder, especially if he gains a victory on Saturday night, will have that as well.
All right, Lance, let's talk about the fight. It's the second meeting between the two. First, can you give us the tale of the tape here?
Back in the day, when you would have guys the size of Wilder, 6'7", and Tyson Fury, 6'9", I mean, these were like basketball players, and they were gangly, thin basketball players who didn't have a lot of coordination and skill. But these guys, you know, through the development of time, are both physical wonders. Tyson Fury has really come into shape for this fight, and Deontay Wilder has always been an incredible specimen that, you know, you have the ability as a heavyweight to weigh whatever you want, basically. But he stays around that 215-pound mark, just because he's so ripped and in such great physical condition, he can move around better than any opponent. And that's part of what makes him special in the ring. So Deontay heads into this fight feeling very confident. And I know Tyson is confident as well. But Deontay, I think it feels like he has a little bit more on his side because he has the ability to end the fight at any moment.
And the first fight, as you mentioned before, was really good. Let's walk through that fight. How did it start out?
Tyson Fury was clearly outboxing Deontay Wilder at times through big chunks of the fight.
There were questions coming into this fight. How would Wilder deal with the magnificent boxer? Well, he hasn't steamrolled him, but it's a very close fight. Big right hand right on the button of Wilder.
Wilder ends up landing a knockdown blow on Fury in the ninth round. Tyson Fury was not at landing the type of blows that were the knockout punches, but he was landing punches. Deontay Wilder, in my opinion, was landing the more impactful punches.
Here they go. Fury. He hurt Fury with that left hook. Fury backed away as soon as he got clipped with that left hook.
So it comes down to this defining 12th round.
We are headed towards the 12th and final.
And Deontay lands a big right and a left. He thought the thing was over. He made like a sign toward his neck, like, you know, the head's off. He's over there celebrating in the corner, doing a little shimmy, dancing, having the time of his life. All of a sudden, he looks over his shoulder and Tyson Fury's standing up. And within seconds later, Tyson Fury's landing shots. It was a miracle. It was a truly an amazing experience. So then it comes down to the decision, and it's a draw.
Even a draw, the decision is a split decision draw.
A split decision draw.
And so we're led to this rematch now that has been on hold maybe for a little too long, but I think all it's done is built up the anticipation and whet the appetite for what should be an incredible part two.
You know, we've talked a lot about Deontay Wilder. Let's take a look at his opponent, Tyson Fury. He's a complicated guy. How would you describe him?
Exactly that. I mean, to try to figure this guy out, I've conducted a fair share of interviews with Tyson Fury. And honestly, leaning into all of them, you never know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. Never. You could get a surly guy. You could get the most jolly of all guys. He has a very powerful message to communicate about the effects of depression and how he rebounded from that in his life. To hear him talk on the, when he was on Joe Rogan's podcast and talk about, you know, nearly taking a vehicle off a bridge, I believe, is just absolutely devastating and frightening.
And I was in my car, I bought a brand new Ferrari convertible, and I got the car up to 190 miles an hour. I was heading towards that bridge. And I didn't care what no one was thinking. I didn't care about hurting my family, my career, people who friends, anybody. I didn't care. I didn't care about nothing. I just wanted to die so bad. I give up on life. And just as I was heading towards that bridge at 190 in this Ferrari, it had crushed like a Coke can, by the way, if it had hit it. I heard a voice say no.
The thing with Tyson is that he found a way to cure himself. And I think that we all know that that's not very easy, but it speaks to his humanness. And I think that if there's one thing you can say about Tyson Fury is that he is a survivor.
Well, all right, Lance. So give us your prediction. Who's winning this fight?
I'm going to say Deontay Wilder wins this fight by 10th round knockout. I think that Deontay has a sense of how to inflict his damage. It's going to be very difficult because of the shape that Tyson Fury's in. But I do believe that Deontay, just being the specimen that he is going to be able to still prove that he's in superior shape to Tyson Fury. And by the 10th round, especially given that he has knocked him down twice already, he's going to land the finishing blow and Tyson Fury will stay down.
Well, Lance, thank you so much for joining us and enjoy fight night.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
You can find Lance Pugmire's profile of Deontay Wilder at theathletic.com.
Here are some other stories we're following at The Lead. According to The Athletic's Shams Charania, Brooklyn Nets point guard Kyrie Irving is headed for surgery on his injured right shoulder. Irving has appeared in just 20 games this season and is making just under $32 million, while Kevin Durant is making $37 million, a lot of money for two guys who have barely touched the court.
In other news, Roger Federer announced on his social media platforms Thursday that he had surgery on his right knee and will miss the French Open. He wrote, "After the procedure, the doctors confirmed that it was the right thing to have done and are very confident of a full recovery." He signed off by saying, "See you on the grass." So it looks like the 38-year-old is aiming to play at Wimbledon this summer. Federer has won 20 career Grand Slam single titles, just ahead of perennial rivals Rafa Nadal with 19 and Novak Djokovic with 17.
And finally, we're looking forward to a big college basketball matchup this weekend when number one Baylor takes on number three Kansas in Waco. Baylor is one of the surprise stories of the season with a record of 24-1 and a 23-game win streak. The Jayhawks will be looking to avenge a loss to the Bears earlier this year. That's it for the week. Thanks for listening, everyone. Our producers are Caitlin Plummer, Chris Siegel, and Chris Olin. Editing and production by senior producers Lee Hernandez and Matt Straub. Good luck getting over that Disney flu, Matt. Fact-checking by Ian Hurley. Sound design and mixing by Aaron May, Scott Somerville, and the big Cholino, Marcelino Villalpando. The executive producer of The Lead is me, Anders Kelto. Our show is executive produced by Lee Hernandez, Marshall Louie, and Hernan Lopez for Wondery. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Kelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. See you next week.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know. If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.